The United States, for example, has a huge and growing drugs problem, the direct result of which has been soaring crime rates, which continue to increase at an alarming rate. Backed by the growing levels of public demand for tougher action, the government has justification to use heavy-handed, overt and covert operations to combat the drugs problem and satisfy public opinion. However, certain disturbing facts about the American drugs war throw a shadow of doubt upon its credibility and the motives of the government. It is commonly believed that during the 1960s, J. Edgar Hoover, the then chairman of the FBI, allowed the drugs trade to flourish within the African-American community in an attempt to undermine the black community's uprising within American society. During the 1980s, with the threat of communism taking over Central America, money was urgently required to finance the rebellion movement against communism, and to raise this, the CIA allowed drugs to be traded into America. Revelations by the American senator, Jack Bloom, who was part of an investigatory committee into the matter, confirms this. The pathetic justification given by the FBI for using drugs to subdue the African-American community in the 1960s was that the black uprising was in actual fact a communist attempt to undermine America's involvement in Vietnam. During the Contra Wars in the 1980s, the scapegoats used to justify the flow of drugs into America were once again the communists. However, today the threat of communism no longer exists, yet the drugs trade is still flourishing in America, and the trade in international drugs trafficking is soaring, raising the question as to why.
In the course of the Contra War, the United States, as a matter of policy, abandoned drug law enforcement. Look the other way at the kinds of conditions we were creating that enhanced the ability of traffickers to move dope into the United States and in effect allowed a drug trade to flourish, all to support the Contra movement and to support the war.
Historically, the Freemasons have used or created problems within society to turn and manipulate events in accordance with their agenda. The rising drugs problem in America gives the authorities all the justification needed to use stronger, heavy-handed tactics on an even wider scale. Already major transatlantic operations, as well as American and Latin American operations, have been undertaken to combat the drugs epidemic. It will not be long before there is significant backing for a strong global offensive. Distortion of the facts and usage of manufactured and biased statistics are the tools of the Freemasonic governments of today, as well as creating a public need for greater national and global security. Rising rates of crime, drug abuse, and the increasing threat of terrorism act to serve the purpose of promoting greater control of the masses. Advances in technology are the way forward for the Freemason. These allow the actions of all individuals in society to be monitored, checked, and recorded. Information is their key. The more information they have on individuals, the more accurately they can predict their actions and the way they think, and the easier they are to manipulate, control, and subdue. The Freemasons are creating a society, and in the society, choice is but an illusion. Technology is there to restrict the choices you have, and the choices you do have are in actual fact the products of a manipulated mind that has been steered into a predefined direction. Control of the masses means the complete control of every aspect of human life. Your life. Shocking acts of terrorism, soaring crime rates, and increasing incidences of violence are propounded by film, media, and government reports alike, create strong public sympathy and support for harsh tactics and surveillance techniques. In this way, more and more technology can be introduced, and the level of monitoring and surveillance can be increased, until individuals are monitored to a level more befitting a totalitarian state. Public opinion would once again be manipulated to give the Masons justification for their actions and make their goals easier. The means of monitoring the masses and storing all personal information on individuals in society on a massive mega database are already underway. Rapid movements are taking place towards storing personal information on individuals on plastic, such as banking details, driving license information, and national insurance details. Currently, these details are stored on separate cards, but plans are well underway to merge all the information onto one identity card. The consequence would be complete monitoring of all purchases and transactions and personal details of an individual at the touch of a button. In 1992, the Vice Chancellor of the British Supreme Court, Nicholas Brown Wilkinson, told the High Court that if the information obtained by the police, the Inland Revenue, the social services, the health service and other agencies will be to be gathered together in one file, the freedom of the individual will be greatly at risk. However, the Freemasons, through the governments controlled by them, already have access to a vast array of information about you. They can already find out who you talk to on the phone, where you work, where you shop, what you eat, what you wear, how much you are worth, what you earn, and the list goes on and on. One identity card would allow even closer monitoring and enable a complete psychological profile to be compiled on every individual in society. Information which would make it very easy to predict, control, and manipulate actions. However, there is a gap that the Masons need to fill in. By using hard currency, an individual can evade detection and vital information is lost since hard currency transactions are untraceable. As a result, moves are being made to replace hard currency with a system that relies totally on electronic funds transfer. In other words, a system that relies totally on cards. Trails in Swindon have heralded the first signs of a move towards the introduction of smart cards and electronic money on a national scale in the UK. The Mondex scheme is pioneered by NatWest and Midland Banks and British Telecom, and is the first British trail of a smart card. Inside a smart card is a microchip which calculates every single transaction, not only financial transactions, but records every single thing for which it is used. It can serve as a credit card, a building society passbook, library card, travel card, phone card, and quite possibly an identity card. The concept was pioneered in France, which already has its own rigorous identity system. Although an identity card would reveal much detail, it would not be able to locate any one person precisely at any given instant time. This would require some sort of tracking device that could be put on and detected wherever that person may be on the globe. The tracking device would be an all-purpose microchipped identification device, or an electronic implant placed under the skin. These implants could then send off a signal which could then be picked up by satellite in low Earth orbit, locating and identifying the subject. Although this may sound like the works of fiction, it is, however, already well on its way to becoming reality. There are already approximately 48 global positioning satellites in orbit that are in use by the United States and her allies. These satellites can act upon incoming signals and pass down accurate information to the source of the signal about its location. At present, the source of the signals are devices that are attached to tanks, battleships, aircraft, or handheld instruments for accurate navigation purposes. The next step would be to introduce the device that creates the source signal on every individual. Currently, one form of device that has been created specifically as a signal source for the satellites is the electronic tag. Already a scheme using such tags on individuals is in operation in the UK. The justification used is that it is necessary to curb the growth in the population of the already overflowing prisons. The tag fits securely around the offender's wrists and can be monitored to see if the offenders are violating curfew regulations. Pilot tagging schemes are already in operation in Greater Manchester, Berkshire and Norfolk, with plans for expansion in other countries in the coming year. In an article of the Daily Telegraph dated the 13th of November 1997, Jack Straw, the current British Home Secretary, stated that electronic tagging has developed rapidly in the past few years, as has people's confidence in it. There is no argument that it has within it the scope for further significant development. And with the people firmly under their watchful eye, the Masons can now further advance their plans for global control, manipulating them in accordance with their own ends. And this manipulation would be achieved by any means necessary. Freemasons' plan for complete global control by one governmental body means that they must pave the way for complete global economic union, complete global legislatory and political union, and complete global military union. On March 25, 1957, with the creation of the European Economic Community, the first significant steps in the creation of this global government were taken. Since then, the EEC has become a testing ground for the New World Order. With the basic tenets of freedom of movement between member states already established, goods and people can move relatively freely within this one superstate. The plans are already underway for the establishment of complete monetary union, and the powers of the governmental body of Europe are growing every day, paving the way for complete political and legislatory union. All this will mean that eventually, in the superstate of the European Economic Community, there will be one currency, one economy, and one government. And the government would most certainly be a Masonic government. The three most important players of the European Community are Britain, France, and Germany. Britain and France have long been Masonically controlled nations. During World War II, Germany was completely annexed by Britain and France, along with the United States, another Masonic nation, and the Soviet Union. The sectors of Germany controlled by the former three countries, the Masonic nations, formed a separate political identity called West Germany. And with the downfall of the Berlin Wall, West Germany has now taken over the former East Germany. Europe is not alone in its efforts to achieve superstate status. America and Mexico are currently the only two members of NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement. However, the nations of the South are increasingly being pursued to join. With Masonic superstates in both Europe and America firmly established, global union would be a logical and easy progression. However, there is another problem that the Masons need to contend with if they are to be the masters of this global union. By the 1970s, it was becoming increasingly clear that the population of Europe and white America was rapidly declining. Unless something was done, the expanding size of the population of third world nations would pose a serious threat to national security of Masonically controlled countries. Western consumer power and productivity would reduce, and as a result, they would be completely dependent on that of the third world population. Somehow, the gap between Western population and third world population had to be a bridge to restore Western supremacy, or more precisely, Masonic supremacy, at a global scale. In the 1970s, President Jimmy Carter commissioned the Global 2000 Report. The findings of the report blamed virtually all of the world problems on the population growth of non-white people. The report went on as far as recommending the elimination of at least 2 billion people in third world nations off the face of the earth by the year 2000 in order to restore Western supremacy. Interestingly enough, also in the 70s, the AIDS epidemic broke out, claiming huge amounts of life in third world nations, as well as amongst the growing black and Hispanic population of America. It was said that the virus originated from green monkeys in Africa and was later passed on to the local population through either acts of bestiality or through consuming them as food. From there on, AIDS spread like wildfire across the African continent and later on to the rest of the world, claiming millions of lives. However, the story was just a smokescreen. On June 2, 1988, the Los Angeles Times published an article refuting the idea that the human AIDS virus originated from green monkeys. It uncovered evidence that the DNA composition of AIDS was totally inconsistent with that of green monkeys. In fact, it could be proven that the AIDS virus could not be found anywhere in nature and could only have ever survived in the human biological system. If the virus did not exist anywhere in nature, the question is raised as to where exactly the virus all of a sudden stemmed from. On July 4, 1984, the New Delhi newspaper in India called The Patriot published an article making the first detailed charges of AIDS as being a counter-biological warfare agent. An anonymous American anthropologist was quoted claiming that AIDS was genetically engineered at the US Army's biological warfare laboratory at Fort Detrick near Frederick, Maryland. Then on October 30, 1985, the Soviet journal Litteraturnaya Gazeta repeated the charges made by the Indian newspaper, making it an international controversy. All this, however, was easily passed off as a communist rhetoric by the Masonic West. However, on October the 26th, 1986, the Sunday Express became the first Western newspaper to run a front-page story confirming the findings of the Indian and Soviet newspapers entitled AIDS Made in Lab Shock. In this article, a distinguished physician, Dr. John Seal, and Professor Jacob Siegel, the retired director of the Institute of Biology at Berlin University, both concluded that the AIDS virus was man-made. The outbreak of AIDS has been linked to vaccine programs around the world. The internationally respected London Times newspaper published an article at the front page story on May 11, 1987, entitled Smallpox Vaccine Triggered AIDS. The article establishes a direct correlation between the smallpox vaccine administered by the World Health Organization to an estimated 50 to 70 million people in different Central African countries and the subsequent outbreaks of AIDS in those regions. The World Health Organization is the medical wing of the United Nations. The evidence suggests that AIDS is a genetically engineered virus spread through vaccination programs in third world countries, germ warfare against the innocent and the weak, aimed at eliminating an entire populace off the face of the earth. AIDS is nothing other than the modern-day final solution, and all of this for the purpose of installing an economic policy that would give complete global domination to the Masonic West. However, for the Freemasons, economic domination on its own is not enough. In order to have Masonic governments at the head of global union, under complete Masonic control, an economic union may suffice, but to keep it there, they would need a military union, and that union would be none other than the UN. The United Nations is a general assembly of the majority of the nations of the world. Britain, France and America are already ranked within the five major powers of its Security Council, with the others being Russia and China. This means they have enough power to veto any motions passed. In December 1992, the President of the General Assembly declared that the UN must become a functional world parliament and went on to say that the UN should be equipped with its own intelligence service. However, the UN has already attained military power. It operates its own army, an army that stood back while thousands of Muslims were killed by the Serbs in Bosnia, and instead implement an arms embargo that left the Muslims without any means of self-defense. When UN soldiers were sent to wage war against General Mohammed Farah Aidid during the months between June and October 1993, American helicopters fired on hospitals, houses, and civilian crowds, killing hundreds of unarmed people. After an attack in which 71 died, the head of the UN mission, Admiral Jonathan Howe, said, "We knew what we were hitting. It was well planned." This was a clear breach of the Geneva Convention, but when the US military attorney was confronted on these points, his reply was that the Geneva Convention did not apply to the UN forces on the technicality that the UN is not the signatory to the convention. In other words, UN troops were free to commit any war crimes or atrocities they wanted and were above any law. In fact, the UN, far from bringing peace with it as it claims, instead has spread corruption in the land, leaving a trail of death and destruction wherever it has gone. Days of the Cold War, the very existence of the Soviet Union, meant that the Freemasons' path to a global government would take time. Now that communism has been destroyed, it seems that the Freemasons can at last use the UN to achieve their goals of a global government, therefore having the entire world at their grasp with none to stand in their way, or so they thought. For as the earth cries out because of the corruption and injustice they have spread over the land, through the agonizing centuries of their domination, the world is witnessing the reawakening of an old warrior. Now, the Freemasons have another enemy to contend with, an enemy which they have thought that they have destroyed. An enemy that will never bow down to the evil and demonic plan of the Freemasons. That enemy is Islam, and against it, they have declared war. However, the Muslims have already been forewarned about an enemy that will face them, the last prophet of God, Muhammad said that a man will appear after the Muslims have conquered a Roman city called Constantinople. He will first appear as a tyrannical king, then he will be claimed to be a prophet, and finally, he will claim to be the Lord God himself. Already the first part of the prophecy has been fulfilled. Constantinople was conquered and renamed Istanbul. The prophet further foretold that this liar would start to conquer the world, country by country, fortress by fortress, region by region, town by town, and no place will remain unscathed except the two holy cities of Mecca and Medina. He will possess powers to issue a command to the sky, and it will rain, and to the earth, and it will produce crops. He will call to a false religion and bring something which resembles paradise and hell. But that which resembles paradise will in fact be hell, and that which resembles hell will in fact be paradise. He is the Dajjal, meaning imposter, and he will be born with one eye, and your Lord is not one eye. It is also known that before the appearance of the Dajjal, a group of people will pave the way, setting up a system to prepare the world for his arrival. In other words, these forerunner to the Dajjal and their system will bear all the characteristics of the Dajjal, and he will be the final embodiment of these in human form. The forerunners to the Dajjal are none other than the Freemasons. The one eye is one of the ways to recognize the Dajjal. The one eye is the symbol of the Freemasons. It is part of their beliefs and is taken from ancient Egyptian mythology. In their ideology, it represents the supreme being, sometimes referred to as the great architect of the universe. The scholars of Islam say that the similitude of the Dajjal is that of the Pharaoh who tarried with the prophet Moses. The Pharaoh was a tyrannical leader who elevated himself in status and declared himself to be God. He used magicians to create illusions and fool the people and oppressed all who did not conform to his false religion. Today, the Freemasons weave another kind of magic. The illusions they create take the form of hidden or openly propagated messages in films, televisions, cartoons, music, and all the other cogs in their well-oiled media machine. And this same media machine has continuously been put into action to slander and destroy the character of Islam, following another trait of the Dajjal, who goes further and slanders God directly. The Dajjal is an oppressor to all who do not follow him. He will have powers to increase the land harvest or destroy it, depending whether the people follow him. Similarly, the Freemasonic West, through the World Bank, hold the third world nations to ransom if they do not act in accordance with their wishes. Abundance of IMF development loans are often used to ensnare such nations, and the unattainable interest payments keep them ensnared. They are forced to submit or face economic collapse and dire poverty. Another way in which the Dajjal will control the people, either deluding them or forcing them to submit, is by spreading disease. He will have the ability to spread disease or cure it, effectively playing God. And with this power, he will delude many to his false religion. The Freemasons also play with people's lives in this manner. Evidence exists showing that many viruses have created or mutated in military labs and later used in experiments on human beings. And it has been established that AIDS is a man-made tool used to suit the purposes of Masonic West. The Dajjal shall try to strip God of all of his divine attributes and claim them for himself. This arrogance is also the way of the Freemasons, who are engaged in replacing the laws of God with those that are man-made and claiming justice across the land, using technology to monitor all that you do, trying to see and hear everything, using genetics to alter and to improve the creation to reach their false standards. Their arrogance knows no bounds, and they obey no law but that of their own making. These are the forerunners to the Dajjal. These are the Freemasons. Prophet Muhammad said that a time would come when the whole world would gather around to plan the destruction of the Muslims, as if they were gathered around a table to take part in a meal. Today the nations of the world are doing just that, around the circular tables of the United Nations General Assembly Hall. He also said that the time of the Dajjal will be years of confusion. People will believe a liar and disbelieve one who is trustworthy, and those who rebel against God will have a say in general affairs. Today, During the time preceding the Dajjal, there is also a time of confusion. The system set up by the forerunners to the Dajjal have ensnared many Muslims away from truth. Using lures such as wealth and materialism and fulfillment of earthly desires. A miserable trade indeed. These times of tribulation are like a giant sieve, sorting out the true believers from the apostates and hypocrites. Many have adopted the lifestyle and philosophy of the Dajjal system, retaining perhaps only their Muslim names or clothing, wearing them like a badge to their